If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We are busy with our rate card, the sixth administration. How did they fare? How did they do? I'd love to hear from you. 086-000-00959. Looking at various things, we've just spoken about crime. You can continue sending those voice notes. Let me hear from you, your own lived experience. How do you think we've been doing? So let's now look at electricity. We've seen it. And I want to just tell you that a message just came through from Eskom itself warning that the social media notices that people have been getting saying that their electricity load shedding will resume on the 30th of May is absolutely untrue. Eskom sees this in dim light, absolutely, and they're saying that they really could people just refrain from making those kinds of statements. So if you are getting on your social media platforms that load shedding will be resuming from the 30th of May, Eskom is saying, be aware, it's not coming from them and it's absolutely not true. So to take a look at all of this and how we've been doing in relation to electricity and Eskom, Professor Samson Mampweli is energy expert and he's on the line with us. He's head of Energy Secretariat at the South African Energy Development Institute. Prof, thanks for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and the listeners.
It's a tough one. I'll ask you the score much later. But we've obviously seen this 5 years being quite strenuous on us as consumers, as citizens, in terms of how the energy crisis has affected the economy and, as I said, our lived experience. We have seen an improvement. Would you regard what we are seeing as sustainable improvement?
Yeah, looking at the fact that we have now gone for about 62 days without load shedding and then having known the actual reasons why we don't have load shedding, after looking back at July 2022 when President Ramaphosa went on a wider consultation where he consulted various stakeholders in the energy sector, including the public sector, the private sector, as well as the institutions of higher learning, and came up with what we call, we now know as the President's Energy Action Plan, which and then established the National Energy Crisis Committee, which started doing some work from back then in 2022. Up until now, that committee is still very much hard at work. One could say that the president kind of provided them leadership in terms of trying to deal with the energy crisis, because we know the history of the crisis. The white paper on renewable energy in 2003 warned the country that if we don't bring in a new generation capacity by 2007, 2008, we will start to have shortage of electricity generation supply. And we know the other areas of challenges that included the time when the systems were not properly maintained, and the time when Medupi and Kusile were being built with a lot of flaws. And we know what has been captured in the Zomo Zondo Commission, for instance, when it comes to corruption and Laman's efficiency. We know the other challenges that Eskom experienced, including areas of sabotage, the wrong coal qualities, and many other challenges that the National Energy Crisis Committee started dealing with.
Yeah, but there were some successes, right? The entire renewal of Kuiberg, for instance, a good idea, was it not? How do you see that?
So that was an example of what needed to be done on the Eskom power system. And I have been at the forefront, from way back in around 2018, 2019, indicating the government and indicating that the power system, the coal fleet, basically needed renewal. And I was one of the very few people very first few people to write directly to President Ramaphosa. And I'm saying this for the first time in a public platform because it was a confidential kind of a letter that I wrote to him. And where I indicated just before he established the National Energy Crisis Committee, where I indicated some of the things that ended up in the energy action plan, including, by the way, the renewal of the coal fleet, which became top of the agenda when it comes to the National Energy Crisis Committee. So there have been quite some good things happening, including, by the way, the fixing of Medupi and Kusile flaws, design flaws that were there, which ESCOM managed to successfully fix, which is partly the reason why today we don't have load shedding, including other reasons, obviously.
And as I said, you know, there's some wonderful things that have come out of this Presidential Energy Action Plan. You've just told us about the fact that you yourself had been quite involved. The 200 plus billion loan that came from government, I mean, we've seen some improvements, as we've all been mentioning now. But in your view, has it been well spent?
So the 256 billion rand that the government made available to ESCOM was basically to say ESCOM must then fix the use their balance sheet to fix the coal fleet, as opposed to them using their balance sheet to repay the debt that they had. At that particular point, the debt was sitting at 300 and something billion, and whenever ESCOM made money, they would have to then use that money to service the debt. What that 256 billion did now, it freed up a good amount of money from the ESCOM balance sheet, and then that money was then redirected to fixing of the coal fleet, because ESCOM didn't have enough revenue to be able to fix the coal fleet. So in my view, that money has been well spent, because we can now see the result. While we don't have load shedding today, there has been a significant improvement in the performance of the coal fleet, which we have recorded at above 7% in the reduction of the breakdowns. So that basically means that the ESCOM generation recovery plan is actually working, and it's working because there's now some form of liquid cash that the ESCOM is able to direct into the that particular program.
So we've got some voice notes coming through. Let me just take a quick voice note. We're going to be taking those voice notes on 063-688-0959. Prof, just take a listen to this voice note.
Hi, this is Pimelo Isaac here. You know what? I know that ANC has messed up a lot, but we need to give it credit somewhere, somehow. For the first 10 years into democracy, they did very well, and they were learning the ropes. And instead of just carrying over with the good that they were doing in the first 10 years, things started deteriorating. And let's not blame the ANC. Let's blame the individuals within the ANC. It's just that the majority of them within the ANC are causing the organization to look bad. So, yes, let's give it credit. I know they've messed up, but just like a child, when you keep on spanking the reprimanding the child and not listening, when you spank the child, they will eventually listen. And I think that's what we need to do to the ANC.
Prof, you know, you said you are now quite open about the fact that you had yourself advised the president, you've written a letter and, you know, gave some ideas on what needs to be done. I would say one of the criticisms, though, coming through, and you'd have to tell me to what extent that was a benefit to citizens, but one of the criticisms was that for those who had the capacity and the resources, relief came quickly. That rebate program, yes, wonderful, but of course only benefited the few.
Yeah, so I can talk to that and indicate that it did not necessarily benefit the few. Mm-hmm. In this sense, technically, it benefited the country in general. One of the reasons why we don't have load shedding today is because most people who could afford and be able to be assisted with that particular rebate installs rooftop solar PV in their households, and some in their businesses. Some businesses also have ground-based, ground-mounted solar PV systems. And what did that did? It increased the share of renewable energy in the country in terms of rooftop solar PV and ground-mounted solar PV by businesses and households to about 6 gigawatts. What that did then, it unlocked generation capacity from Eskom, because basically it lowered the demand and then thereby enabling Eskom to use the additional capacity to generate reserves during the day. Mm. And then when the sun is shining, when those people who are now using their own solar panels during the day, they are not taking from Eskom. Eskom has got now suddenly enough generation capacity. And then they can build reserves for the rest of the country. So that entire program, yeah. Even though people are saying it benefited only the few who are rich and all that, apparently it benefited the entire country. And what that did was when you don't have load shedding, we don't have the negative impact on the economy. So in other words, it also helped in terms of securing the job security for the poor as well. Because when there's load shedding, it erodes money in the economy and then it leads to job losses. So that program is one of the best programs that South Africa has ever done. I would encourage government to continue those kind of programs.
But Prof, and that makes sense, right? It makes sense in the sense that in the end, there is security of jobs. In the end, we all have energy security. That's in the end. What we are referring to here is the rebate itself, cash in the pocket of an individual, was only going to those who could afford the solar panel. And of course, we know the fact that, you know, energy in other forms like oil is not something that we can really capitalize on, because it's an entire system on its own. But there are people who ended up using, let's say, paraffin or gas in their homes, who would need that cash in their pockets. That rebate, there was no rebate for that kind of an individual who had to make that kind of a plan. And so, yes, all of us are sharing in what the rich were able to do, but they were able to get cash back into their pockets. For those who had to substitute energy in other ways like paraffin, candles and gas, nobody gave them any money back into their pockets.
Yeah, so if you look at the people at the lower end,
yes,
the various municipalities have got various programs that are targeted at those people at that lower end in terms of the poverty lines. Even when you look at the three basic electricity units that the municipalities provide to indigent families, those families that cannot afford electricity. You're looking at the elderly, the pensioners, and the poor. They get 50 electricity units from government. That is free, and we say it's free because when they receive it, they don't pay. But the rich that you are referring to are the ones who are actually paying for those three basic electricity units, because it is worked into the electricity tariffs. So either way, there are benefits for everybody in society. I know of municipalities that used to provide their poor with things like such as paraffin in addition to the 50 free basic units. In this case, the benefits are even much wider, because even when there's load shedding, even that person who's got access to 50 free basic units of electricity, they don't have electricity when there's load shedding. But when the rich were subsidized to actually not only the rich, even the middle class, they were subsidized to be able to put up this rooftop solar PV. That also guaranteed electricity for the poor who are only able to afford the 50 free basic electricity. And on the economy itself, widely, I've already alluded to the fact that
yes,
basically led to job security across the country.
So let's talk about mechanisms mechanisms that were put in place for the rebate program? Because, of course, we've always had a mechanism way before we had this rebate program for indigent families. You're absolutely right about that. But if you listen to the number of people who have applied for those for that rebate and for that, you know, to reap the rewards of that indigent programs, they would tell you municipalities themselves don't know how to manage that. Municipalities, there's a massive backlog. And so it takes a long time to eventually get to the top of that food chain to reap those benefits. And yes, the policy is there, but people have not necessarily benefited in the way in which the policy had wished it would actually benefit them. And of course, this is not pointing at the ANC, because municipalities are run by other people as well. So I think it must be quite clear this is not an ANC bashing exercise. But I'm just making the point that let's then talk about mechanisms that are in place for the rebate program for those who have been able to put up solar panels. Has that process been smooth and easy? Because I can tell you now, for the poor, it hasn't been smooth and easy.
So if you look at the mechanisms that were in place before the rebate program,
yes,
the 53 basic units and other mechanisms, they are best practices and they are worst practices.
Yes,
elsewhere. So when it comes to the best practices, these municipalities are classified, and the various areas within the same municipalities are classified. There are areas that are classified as being occupied by predominantly poor people.
Yes.
And when you go to those areas, you don't even have to apply for those 53 basic units. If you buy electricity between the 30th of a month of the month and the 5th of the month, sometimes in some municipalities goes into the around the 7th of the month, and you buy at a particular number of units, you then automatically get the 53 basic units. So you don't have to go through an application process where you need to then put in an application and wait for this. That's one. The second part is that Eskom themselves, in their own tariffs, when you got what the general public refers to as the small electricity box, which is referring to your electricity meter, the circuit breaker that is in your electricity meter. When you've got a 20 amp breaker coming into your house, you are automatically regarded as a poor kind of household if you are residing in those areas that are designated to say these are poor, these are predominantly poor communities.
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of having that small box, when you buy electricity, you automatically get loaded with the 53 basic units.
Mm-hmm.
The worst case scenario is where there is the mixture between the rich and the poor, mm-hmm. and the middle class, as it is being found in relatively the same kind of areas where people will then have to go and put in applications, and then they have to wait for the applications to be processed. Yes, there are backlogs here and there in various municipalities, but in the main, when you look at these programs, municipalities have done very well in this particular program, very less because, and the biggest issues obviously have been issues around corruption and malfeasance in other areas. But on the electricity side, on the mechanisms that were put in place to help the poor, in the main, we haven't seen most of those issues across the country in the main, like I have indicated.
Well, thanks for your take there. Your score, Prof?
Given the fact that the Energy Action Plan has started working, I'll give President Ramaphosa and his administration a 90% so far, and also given the fact that he actually went out of his way to basically did a proper diagnosis of the problem, came up with the plan. It went on to implement the plan. Halfway through implementation of the plan, he realized that he needed a person who is dedicated to dealing with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then he employed the Minister of Electricity, who came and made a huge difference from having our coal fleet operating at 40%, 41% energy availability factor. Today, we are sitting at 60, 65% energy availability factor. Sometimes it's hitting 70% energy availability factor, which is what we need to stop load shedding. That's why I'm giving him that much of a very high score.
Professor Samson Mampweli saying 90% is what the president and this administration is getting for the energy. Let's take your calls on 086-000-00959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.